Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did y'all see that down there at the bottom? How did it get there? All right, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all that's going to be accomplished this night. Y'all see that down at the bottom? Okay. It's typing, it's transcribing everything I say, but y'all can't see it.
Did you hit an AI tool?
I don't know.
I see a button where it says transcript.
How you shut it off?
I don't know. Try hitting that it again.
I didn't hit AI. No, that's
No,
him
not
over
an
here.
AI. Yeah. Under where it says more.
I just got a message that said this meeting is being transcribed and AI companion is on.
Is on.
Somebody tell me how to shut it off. All right, maybe that's it. Yep. Nope, that wasn't it.
Somebody
Oh,
Google
well.
it.
Do what?
Somebody Google it.
All right, let's see if it's on there. Okay, nope, there it is. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, Lord, we thank you for all answering all of our prayers tonight. Praise you and we thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time. And we ask for your anointing for everyone here to receive and the ones that are going to give testimonies, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. It's going to be an awesome night. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you that it's going to set a bunch of folks free. In Jesus' name. All right, let's go ahead and play that song you got there, Julie, please. I'll get you shared here. All right, go ahead.
My Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me and cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You all the way, my my Savior leads me. All the fullness of His love, all the sureness of His promise, in the triumph of His blood. And when my spirit clothed in mortal wings, its flight to realms of day, this is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow me. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to Your heart, and surely Your goodness and mercy will follow me. Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Tonight, we've got a special testimony from Angelica. Boy, it's powerful, too. I've had the pleasure of reading it. And Lord, I just ask that You anoint Angelica with Your peace, Your joy, and Your wisdom to relay this testimony to the people in a way that would change their lives, to understand what this spirit can do to you. And I praise You and I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, Angelica, you can start anytime.
Okay, praise the Lord. I kind of have everything written out here with, you know, kind of like the Lord's dealings with me. I may kind of interject some things that I didn't have written here, but I just wanted to pray real quick before I start, and if that's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank You, Father, for Your mercy and for Your grace on us all, Lord. I thank You that as we continue to learn and grow, Father God, in love, Father God, in understanding, Lord, in obedience, Lord, that that You will just bless us, Father God, to continue with You, Father God, and to see, Father God, all the ways the enemy tries to destroy us, Father God, or tries to blind us, Father God. And I just thank You for being with us tonight, and I thank You for freedom in Christ. I thank You for what Jesus did for us at the cross, for us to be set free. And I just thank You for what You've done in my life, what all the things that You've done to to grow me, to teach me, to show me, Lord, although some of these things are hard. You make a way of escape for us, and so we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me first, I'm just going to be reading what I have here. So it's I have on 226. This has kind of been a bit of a testimony of what the Lord has been dealing with me on over probably a long period of time. But then it was so it was just me explaining that, and then a couple of dreams, and then how the Lord led me in a supernatural teaching, sort of, as he led me through certain, he would put certain words in my mind, and I would look that up, and then he would kind of reveal some things about those things. So I had originally shared that and wrote it down with David and Michael, and they looked at it and suggested I share it, and so that's why I'm doing it. So I said, let me first say that anything I share is not meant to hurt or offend anyone concerning my interactions with the brethren or people in general, but rather only being mentioned to highlight how those interactions would bring about the manifestation of the Spirit in my life and possibly in others, as I later learned. Let me also say that in no way am I saying that my experience is the only way that the demon Jezebel manifests in others, but I believe what I am sharing is a good starting point for us all to consider and prayerfully ask the Lord to discern of this evil, for discernment of this evil spirit. David has several teachings on the website and our YouTube channel if you want to learn more on the Jezebel spirit. Since having asked the Lord to for sharp discernment concerning this demon, it has become more apparent to me in a very nuanced way. My intention is not to bring a microscope to the lives of anyone or give or get to looking at the flesh of anyone or correct anyone, but to effectively recognize it and not inadvertently work with the demon against myself and the body of Christ. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the book of Revelation, where the Lord talks about Jezebel immediately after talks about overcoming. I'm asking the Lord to give me the grace and his power to overcome and to humbly take his hand, knowing that there is so much I don't understand. And because of my position as a woman, in weakness, I need him more than I ever have considered if I'm going to continue with him and not fall into the trap of coming into agreement with the Jezebel demon. Also want to thank the Lord and the brethren who have known and discerned that this spirit on me and have kept me in prayer long before I had a better understanding, for their faithfulness and love towards me. I am not someone who has walked in love perfectly because of my experience in life has been a lot of abuse and heartbreak and pain, and I am still learning to love. So I would just like to apologize to anyone for not being the example of love that I see in the scriptures. Since having been born again, I've had many layers of Jezebel that I have been delivered of. There are manifestations that are unquestionably apparent about the demon to anyone, but I'm going to share the more nuanced, subtle ways that that this evil demon can and has operated under the radar in my life, as possibly others have also experienced this. Over a period of time, with my interactions with people, when I would see or discern that someone was doing something that was outside the character of the Lord, it would grieve me, and I didn't fully understand why the person didn't see what to me was blatantly apparent. It was not my intention to become unforgiving or critical or irritated at certain behaviors or interactions, but found myself complaining to the Lord about all that I saw and did not understand why I could not just let it go. I began to dread being around people because these things were highlighted that I really did not want to have to deal with. I know that we're all learning and growing in the Lord, and as I know, and I also know that the same could be said about me not being able to see things about myself. But my heart was and is to genuinely help people. My desire is to see the enemy removed from all of our lives, but I was blind to the spirit that was working in the background, using my good motives to bring division and contention and every evil work. I never mentioned any of these things to the people because I felt it would not be well received. I grew up kind of rough and really only knew how to be forceful and very straightforward with people, and didn't understand that doing that really does not work with everyone. I always wanted to speak the truth boldly and not shy away from that when I used when being used of the Lord. But this is not always how the Lord wants to use us. I just thought since coming to the Lord that everyone would want to know what the problem was that they were dealing with immediately so that we could be free. I have always gone to David or Michael and others for prayer if I thought it could be a Jezebel demon at work, but truly didn't think what I was experiencing had to do with Jezebel until the Lord revealed it. So fast forward, after much prayer and constant repentance for my failure to go about certain situations before the Lord in the correct spirit, the Lord had mercy and provided a way of escape for me. Praise the Lord. I wanted to mention that I have not had a vehicle for several years, and the Lord used the situation to bring about the perfect set of circumstances that would draw out this ugly demon. And the whole time, I didn't think I was the one with the problem. I, over time, began to realize that this problem was mine, and although I had good intentions and motives, it never came out that way. So I would cry out in prayer to God to help me because I truly wanted to be in the right spirit and be a godly example and be at peace with all men and not be moved in my flesh or try to control matters in my own strength. So for a very long time, I felt generally irritated and frustrated and could not find any peace, and at times struggled to forgive certain behaviors of others. As much as I repented, I found no relief and just wanted to give up and bow out. But my circumstances would not allow for me to do this by God's grace. So one day I was being tormented and could not shake it off, the irritation. And was asking the Lord to help me and to tell me what was the problem, asking what did I do, because I felt desperate and tired of being in the wrong spirit. And as much as I wanted to show my love and concern for others, it was always marred by this underlying spirit. So I prayed before going out. I prayed while with others. I prayed while I came back, and I could not be at total peace without feeling this underlying irritation. And there were a lot of other manifestations, but generally it was just this always irritation about a lot of, just everything basically. I have dealt with a lot of unforgiveness in my life and thought it was because of this and was never really sure what the exact cause of it was. So one day I was going through this and just finished shopping at Aldi's, and I went to put my cart away. And as I was going through this highly irritated pain and strain within myself, I was just asking the Lord to help me. And as I was about to cross to go to the vehicle from the front of the Aldi's, to the vehicle, a Jeep, a black Jeep, drove by me, and my eye was drawn to by the Lord to pay attention, and the word Jezebel was on this vehicle. Instantly, I knew that what I had been experiencing was a Jezebel spirit. Now, some might have been ashamed about the Lord saying such a thing, but I was very happy. I was relieved to finally know what was behind all my woes. So I immediately repented and went home and prayed and asked the Lord to help me and give me more understanding about how this demon was operating in my life. I also had the realization that others were possibly experiencing this demon operating in their lives unbeknownst to them as well. So I prayed and went to bed. The Lord gave me a couple of dreams that I would like to share. The first dream was of myself on a bed that was at the normal height, like most other beds. And then there was a bed next to me that was almost as high as the ceiling, which I thought represented high-mindedness or being lifted up. And there was a brother who had factioned out laying on that bed. And he then suddenly began to slide off of the bed like in a floating manner, and then was going down past my bed. His body was stiff as if still lying on the bed, and then he went under his bed into darkness, and I believe floated off into darkness somewhere. And I felt or had a knowing that he wanted me to follow him into darkness. And that was the end of that dream. When I woke up, it immediately came to me that this brother had a Jezebel spirit, which I never realized about him. So I just prayed and I asked the Lord to continue to help me to recognize this, so that I would not end up like this man and fall away. I then had a second dream the next night, I believe. In the dream, I walked up to what appeared to be a bank teller's counter, and a sister who had factioned out was the teller. I immediately was like, I don't want to talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. I know I'm not supposed to talk to you. She had a piece of paper that had possibly had some Spanish words on it. And at a glance, I read it, and she said it said something that it did not say. I immediately was like, no, it did not say that. You're lying. Let me see that paper. But she would not give it to me and put it under the cubby hole behind the desk and then just disappeared. I knew I was not supposed to look in there or go behind the desk, but I was adamant that I must prove she was lying. So I went to look for the paper, and I know the Lord was correcting me about being contentious, insisting on being right. And the scene changed. And I went to go look behind the cubby, and I knew I wasn't supposed to look, but I was looking for it and I didn't find it. So, and then the scene changed, and I know I was walking with this white lady on the way to the back and complain about this sister. On the way, I felt I should just let it go, and it was not worth the trouble. And this scripture came to me, Matthew 5 and 20:25. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. In the dream, I felt like I was about to be in trouble if I did not let this go. The lady then proceeded to inform me that I was going to jail, and I was like, I ain't going to jail, almost wanting to run away. She then said that if I had my ID card, I would not have to go to jail. I said, oh man, I don't think I have my ID because I just changed my wallet. But somehow my wallet was in my hand, and I began to search for my ID. The first ID I found was my mother's, which I believe represents the natural inheritance passed down through the blood. And I was like, no, that ain't it. And then I found a second of my ex, and I was like, no, that ain't it. I believe this represents the old man. And then I found my ID, which I believe represents my true identity in Christ, and gave her that ID. And that was the end of that dream. With these two dreams, I understood that there was a very subtle Jezebel spirit operating, and I just repented and asked the Lord to help me. I shared all this with on David's birthday at the book study because I knew that the Lord was about to use my experience to bring to light and expose this demon working against others. By the Lord's grace, I'm able to discern this spirit, and I'm asking the Lord to help to first help me to not give in to it and to stay free from it. As I was talking to Michael about this, because he did not catch all of it at the study, he suggested I write all this out to share. We prayed, and I asked the Lord to help me to understand more and help me overcome. As soon as I hung up the phone, I was just going to read my Bible, but the Lord immediately answered my prayer and answered to understand more about this demon. The Lord began to speak to me what I am about to share. Let me say that I generally do not have the address of Scripture memorized. I know a lot of Scripture by heart, but some only partially. But am able to. Able with what I do know to look it up and find the scripture quickly. So below is a supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit that gave me further insight through the scriptures and the definitions the Lord led me to. And so this is like just I'm what I'm going to go through right now is just exactly as I received it from the Lord and the impressions and what the Lord was saying to me based on what I had gone through. Like, as long as I've gone through this, having had this spirit, and relating it to, he was giving me a description of how it operates and kind of in the mind of a person. And it's not obviously is not exhaustive. It can manifest differently in anyone, but I'm just sharing how it's affected me and what the Lord gave me. So I said, I share with, what I believe the Lord was teaching me, and I also what I understood once the Lord shared it with me as I related to my experience. It was really neat. So here it is. I felt the Lord say, cleansing cannot be forced. It has to be God's Holy Spirit. The man has to wash the woman, and the woman cannot wash the man through teaching. I believe the Lord was revealing to me that women can have a series of thoughts and emotions and things that have been learned and taught that may cause the woman to struggle to give up this evil spirit. I, for example, had a fear of losing control and trusting men and people, which nobody has true control except God. But the enemy used fears to keep me in bondage to wrong thinking, which always brings disobedience. I understood both men and women in the body of Christ had to give up full control to God. We are not our own, and we have been bought with a price. I felt the Lord was speaking to me and said that the Jezebel spirit hides itself by causing me to fear exposure, by being offended at correction, getting angry and hurt about it, feeling embarrassed or ashamed. But the reality is that most women in our society and some men have the spirit to some degree. So there is nothing to be ashamed of. The shame comes when you refuse to give it up after Jesus already paid the price to set us free. Some characteristics that I have experienced manifested as always wanting to be right, being critical, nitpicking, forceful, unyielding, annoyance at someone else who is not complying with my desires or with how I prefer things to be, my personal preferences. Jezebel can come off as urgent and caring for someone else, but is forcing her will upon someone else. And this leaves no room for the leading of the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord said to me, the Jezebel spirit is very dismissive of things being said or taught, especially if it didn't come from her. She believes in submission by force and will use emotions and accusations of people not loving or respecting her. She might accuse others of being too harsh to deflect, to deflect and protect herself. She wants to make the rules through witchcraft, manipulation, and control. Jezebel never thinks or considers she's the problem. These are all things that I personally experience. The Lord gave me this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. And the focus on verse 6, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. I felt like the Lord stated this to me and thought it was very true. If the shoe fits, take it off, unless you want to wear it. As kind of contrary to the worldly saying, if the shoe fits, wear it, because in Christ the Lord gave us the grace to walk away from every form of bondage and the blood of Jesus, the answer to all of these things. And so he was just really emphasizing his mercy, for this, as long as I had dealt with this, he's been merciful to me. And so he just was saying, if the shoe fits, take it off. And so Hebrews 11 and 6, and without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing to him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. I felt impressed that God will reward me with cleansing and his righteousness when I come to him and ask to be delivered. Then I heard the word, as many as I love, I reprove. So I proceeded to look that scripture up, Revelation 3, 19 through 22. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down in my fa with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This thought came to me after reading Revelation 3:19 to 22. A Jezebel says God is her husband, but will not submit to him or to the word. She thinks she has greater wisdom. She wills not to submit to ordained authority over herself through her husband, and will not submit to ordained authority in the church due to various reasonings, self-will, and rebellion. My personal experience, as it affected me, was fear to entrust myself to men, which in my experience and what I was taught was that men could not and should not never be trusted. I was taught that I have no need of a man, that I understood that by then I understood that by lack of submission, she usurps authority. She may not think she's doing this or intend to do it, but by default, she becomes her own authority. I thought, wow, just before this chapter in Revelation 3:19 is where the Lord is talking about Jezebel, and I didn't know, like, when the Lord gave me this first scripture that was like right next door. So I felt impressed by the Lord that Jezebel is literally the bride of Satan. She has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof, will not submit to the authority of God or man. She is her own authority. She wills not to submit to the order that God has given. This law is written literally in the cosmos, which means orderly arrangement or decoration, or by implication, the world, including its inhabitants. And I'm just talking about godly order because I was looking up the word orderly, and from then on, the Lord was, leading the whole. Like He was drawing my attention to what word to look up. Like I wasn't leading myself, and so it says, literally or figuratively, morally by implication, world in a wide or narrow sense. You can find the word orderly on page 440 in Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary, which is where I was looking. I then proceeded to read the previous chapter about Jezebel in Revelation 2 and 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. I will give unto each one of you according to your works. But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you no other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Then I heard, let all things be done in order, with the emphasis on the word order, which I had looked up earlier. The word order being in main focus, the main focus in my mind, and this scripture, I knew the Lord was referring to this scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:40, but let all things be done decently and in order. The whole chapter is about giftings in the church. A lot can be said about this, but essentially, Jezebel seeks to cut the head off of the body and replace the move of the Holy Spirit, is what I understood. 1 Corinthians 14:40, but let all things be done decently and in order, which is defined as decent, modest, orderly, akin to cosmos, page 450 in Vines. So then I thought, let me look up the word modesty, and it just means harmonious arrangement, and I found that on page 414. I felt impressed to write down for myself that I want to be used, but not by the devil. Without submission, we cannot have to carry. We cannot have or carry the true authority of God. The head covering is a sign of authority, for the married women, of course. Then 2 Thessalonians 3:11 came to my mind. For we hear that some of you walk among you disorderly, that work not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. And if any man obeyeth not our word by epistle, note that man that ye have no company with him, to the end that he may be ashamed. And yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. The Lord was saying to me, Jezebel is out of order. Jezebel works with self-will, quenching the Holy Spirit from moving. This evil spirit is essentially very craftily, sneakily, and masterfully cutting off the head of Christ corporately. This then Ephesians 1:22 and 23 came to me. Ephesians 1:22 and 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Jezebel claims to be following the leading of the Lord, but her Lord is herself, an ego. Then the Lord drew my attention to the word headstrong in vines on page 295, which is right across from the word head, which I had just looked up when I read Ephesians 1:22, page 294. And it just means falling forward, to fall, rash, reckless. Then I heard headstrong, puffed up, and looked up the scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 4 through 17. Traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. For from these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sin, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be. But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings, what things befell me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. The whole chapter is very good. After reading this, I understood the Lord was pointing out what order looks like. If I'm not obeying this, then I'm out of order, out from under his authority, meaning I am not covered because I am not submitted or agreeing with God, and therefore cannot walk with him. Then I heard, let a woman learn in quietness, which I also looked up, 1 Timothy 2:11 through 15. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. But she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in the faith and love and sanctification and sobriety. I thought to myself, what does it mean to be quiet? So I looked up the word quietness, and it means calm, gentle, unagitated, which I felt the Lord have me to sort of really reflect on that, because a lot of what I was experiencing was an underlying agitation at a lot of things that I didn't understand why was there. But that Jezebel spirit wants to control everything. So, you know, reflecting trust in God to deal with others in situations, having mercy on each other, not demanding my own way, not forcing others to do what I want to do. Then I heard weaker vessel. So I looked that up. 1 Peter 3:3-7. And in like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, that they without the word may be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of hair, or of wearing of jewels or of gold, or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner afore the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if ye do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. I went to look up the word transgression because it used that word in 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. But my eye was drawn to another word, and I forgot about the word transgression. When I came back to it, it said of Judas, who fell away. The word just means to overstep the limits or bounds of God's word, and a separation of chastity from licentiousness and sanctification from sin. I felt the Lord speaking to me and said that Jezebel is impatient, critical, and unforgiving, and intolerant with the self-will of others and ignorance of others, while being self-willed and ignorant herself, and is also intolerable. She despises authority and other women who are in submission. She views them as weak-minded. Then the Lord drew my attention to the word quench on page 502 in Vines, just right across from the word quiet, which I had just looked up on page 503. It just really put the fear of the Lord in me, because I don't want to be guilty of quenching the Holy Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians 5:12-21, but we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them exceedingly highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be long-suffering toward all. See that none render unto any evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one towards another and towards all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you ward. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Then I realized that the Lord was saying Jezebel gets the host to operating out of the soulish realm or head knowledge, not the leading of the Holy Spirit. In doing so, that person is thereby quenching the spirit of holiness. This is pure evil. Only the devil would seek to do this. I understand that this spirit of Jezebel renders the church powerless and cuts off the leading and working of the Holy Spirit and the giftings. The Jezebel effectively quenches the spirit of God. The woman may be ignorant of this, but insists on being heard over and above the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord was speaking to me about that she, the woman, may be made to feel unseen, rejected, or unappreciated, and anger and resentment can come in. Thus, this just proves that her focus is on self and she is self-centered, not about what the Lord wants. The woman may be made to feel stupid and disrespected. She may think that the Lord is leading her to say something, but it could be attention-seeking, Jezebel working to disrupt. I realize that I really need discernment. This is very scary to say, I feel led of the Lord, and it's really just self-will and Jezebel. Just because I know something doesn't mean I have the right to say it without the Lord. I felt that I really need to think of things through to consider if it's the Lord or some other spirit. Jezebel may make the woman feel that the man is stupid and not quick enough or wise enough, and this gives her the right to speak up and be dismissive of the man. Wrong. I felt the Lord say to me that I am more powerful when I am fully submitted to God. I would never be more used of God and more powerful unless submitted to God through obedience. The enemy, of course, has used the scripture that says, I have blood on my hands if I don't warn, to get me to speak out of line. But this is not always what the Lord wants. We have to find balance in all that we do and say through God's grace and wisdom. And that's in Ezekiel 3:18. I won't read that, but the enemy would often use that in my mind. Well, you're guilty if you don't just speak up, to correct someone when they're wrong, the main scripture the Lord gave me specifically was, be ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience has been made perfect. So, we have to, by His grace, look at ourselves before ever looking anywhere else, And so He was just emphasizing that for me. Then I heard the whole head is sick, and I'll just say in that moment, like ever since the Lord had been revealing these things to me, I'd been kind of attacked in a lot of different ways because I knew that the Lord was going to have me to share it. And I knew that other people were going to be experiencing freedom and then also starting to discern the spirit. But In the moment when the Lord said the whole head is sick, I was literally there. I was being attacked physically because I had asked Michael for prayer. I think it was that day, but my whole head felt like it was buzzing. My ears were hurting. My sinuses were hurting. I felt like sick. It was so crazy, like in that moment. But I also knew because it represented like when that spirit is in the mind of someone who, doesn't maybe know it or is in agreement with it, it's not the mind of Christ, it's a sick mind basically. And so I looked it up and found it in Isaiah, and I'm going to read quite a bit here, but I felt it really was fitting concerning the whole message that the Lord was just showing me. So I'm going to please bear with me, and then I'm almost done. So Isaiah 1, and it's 1 through 31. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly, that have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backwards. Why will ye still be stricken, that ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. For the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and would have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith the Lord? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, even when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, through your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine, excuse me, mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and thoroughly purge away thy dross, and I will take away all thy tin, and I will restore the judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her converts with righteousness. But the destruction of trans of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, and the strong shall be as a tow, and his work as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. And that was all I received from the Lord that came to me. And I will say that after having shared this with the body, that the Lord has already brought others to repentance, because they too did not know that that spirit, Jezebel, was there or working underlying. One sister received an awesome vision and shared with all of us. And I, of course, don't want to put out what others may not want to share as their own testimonies or whatever. But I really just encourage the sisters to be, to, you know, to not be ashamed, and also to take the Lord's warning seriously, because it could cost us the position of the bride or cause us to fall away, as many others have. It's my heart's desire to see the and experience what it's like to be completely free from the influence of this demon permanently in my own life and in the corporate body of Christ. This demon has destroyed many, as revealed in those dreams that I received that are no longer here. But I also felt impressed that in our willingness and obedience, that we should, that we would begin to experience the free flow of the Holy Spirit and giftings in a more powerful way. So glory to God. I just give all glory to God for the work that he is doing in my life and in anyone else's life.
Amen. Amen. Has anybody got any questions about what she said, what the Lord had showed her? Yeah, Julie.
I don't really have any questions. I want to go back and listen to it again, because there was a lot of things in there. And some of the things, Angelica, you shared, thank you, by the way, for doing that. Some of the sensations that you were talking about, the irritation, the frustration, you know, I've experienced that too, with not so much with people, although, you know, I'm not in a local assembly either, so that God's using a situation in my life where those things are manifest and I have to cast them down. I recognize them and I sense them, you know, coming to tempt me, if that's the right way to say it, because I feel it, I sense it, and I have to make war against it. And to the best of my ability, that's what I am doing, and not accepting those thoughts, feelings, and emotions and that kind of thing. And, you know, some of the other things you said I could relate to, like, you know, in my mind thinking I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing when I hear something like I don't agree with that. And, you know, and not coincidentally, I guess, like some of the scriptures you're reading in tonight too, the Lord's had me in those chapters in the last few days, and you know, about not quenching the spirit and that kind of thing in Thessalonians, both the books. I was reading through those here recently. And, you know, the last thing I obviously want is to give in to the lower nature and things that I inherited, and even being, you know, single and having worked in corporate America, and I was around that spirit a great deal, and it was emphasized a lot about empowering women to be, you know, you can imagine, right? And not, I didn't agree with that, but boy, it was certainly around that. And I know those things, those influences, you know, can definitely form people, and I'm sure they took foothold in me in a lot of ways, and that kind of thing. And I know the Lord's been using a lot of things, circumstances and people in my own life to reveal things. And I've been going to the Lord, like, you know, like, why is this here? Why am I feeling this? You know, I'm being attacked. This is witchcraft. I don't want this. Recognizing it, but not necessarily, you know, maybe knowing that that was really in me still, you know. And there was a time where I got just really angry, and I just, you know, I just screamed from deep within, you know, just anger at the situation. I was by myself, but it was a situation. And I'm like, I don't know what that was, but I can't have that in me. And I was going to the Lord and crying and weeping and just grieved over it. I'm like, is that in me? I don't want it. I was rebuking it. And that was a few years ago. But I can understand where, the frustration about a situation and it's not working and getting angry is it may not be a person, but it might be the circumstances. Oh, anyhow, I just wanted to thank you. I was just was, recognizing some of the stuff I have gone through and have been dealing with and those feelings, those thoughts, that kind of thing. That, those things are attributes and, that's not anything, those attributes of Jezebel characteristics, that's not anything I want to continue to have even in my mind, let alone, manifest in any way. So anyhow, I just want to thank you for sharing all that, sister. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you. I don't think anybody knew that I was going through any of it because it was within myself. Because obviously we know how to behave outwardly, but we also have an internal battle going on all the time, and I just couldn't figure it out. I couldn't put my finger on it, and I was always doing warfare and whatever else. Definitely not agreeing with it, but it just reached that point to where I feel the Lord was finally, got me to that point where I was finally so tired of it, ready, like, what, whatever it is, Lord, just help me, and then when he revealed it, and I was just very relieved instead of offended, because I know the temptation is to be offended that God is revealing or putting your stuff out there, but I'm like, I think it's just worse to just want to hang on to something versus just be delivered. And so I was very relieved to know that that was an underlying spirit, but also not surprised, just surprised that it was a subtle spirit that was operating under unbeknownst to me, and I realized that that's probably happening with other people as well. And so I believe that's why the Lord had me to share it. And at least, I have been asking the Lord to give me greater discernment, and I recognize it before when I sense it when it's happening, when there's a spirit working between, usually, it can be women, but manifest in different ways and interrupting each other, thinking what we have to say is more important and not, the Lord was showing me, love is patient. The first thing love is, it's patient. If you can't, wait, till someone's done, you're just not loving them, and so it's like whatever you have to say is not that important, and so it's a work in progress, but I'm very thankful to the Lord. And I'm more excited about, like, I guess the sense what the Lord was giving me was that, like, when everyone, that may be dealing with this spirit or maybe has a wife that is dealing with this spirit, makes war on this spirit, that the body of Christ will be so much stronger because of that scripture that he shared with me in Isaiah. Like, the outcome of not dealing with that spirit is just utter destruction, So anyway, I just give glory to God, and I know the work's not done, and he'll reveal more and more. Shalonda had a vision that, I don't know if Michael wants to read it, but he can if he wants to. Otherwise, I can read it, that
Yeah,
she
go
wanted to
ahead.
share. You want me to read it? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do that. Okay. So this was after I shared that with book study. The Lord began to reveal this to her, and she had a vision on 2/20 and 26. She said, "Friday, when I got home, the Lord gave me an open vision. I was in a castle. In front of me was the lady that was dressed like a prostitute from the 1980s and 90s era. I knew it was Jezebel. Jezebel was big during this time. She had big curly hair, highlighted blonde hair, hot pink pants, and leopard print on them, and the purple midriff. She was dancing in a provocative dance that they did in the air called twerking." I'm sorry. So me and this other person, I'm not sure who was, because they were just a shadow, but I knew it was a man, pushed her out of the window. When she fell out of the window, I looked out and saw Jehu, and she put in parentheses man child question mark, sitting on a horse talking. And I knew he was basically saying, who was on the side, on his side to cast Jezebel down? When she fell down, I saw her on the ground, and I saw black dogs, the beast, come and eat her. And I was talking to the person that helped me push her out the window. I don't remember what I said, but I was happy about Jezebel being gone. I was dressed in a medieval outfit, and I'm sorry, it was a long white dress. I was skinny, and I had my hair done like they would have in the medieval times, two braids to the back and the rest of my hair down. Then me and this other person went somewhere after talking. Then the vision ended. I believe the Lord has been, if she shared on one of the meetings, so I think it's okay to say this, that the Lord had been showing her things, also that, maybe inheritance or spirits bothering her or whatever, Jezebel. And she's also being aware and delivering and doing warfare and all that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The reason that I had her come over here and tell y'all is to get it out there because, like she said, a lot of people don't even understand what that Jezebel spirit does to a person and how it interacts with other people. And it was a great testimony in that respect. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, thank you, Angelica. That was good. I did have a question. I think it was in your first dream. You were resting on a bed, and there was a bed that was almost close to the ceiling, and another person was resting on that bed. And you said that that person was a man that had factioned out, and he floated off the bed and came down and then floated under the bed and disappeared. And you mentioned that that he had a Jezebel spirit as well. What were the conditions or the what made you, why did you recognize, or how did you recognize, what were the conditions that you could see that convinced you that that man had a Jezebel spirit instead of, say, a factious spirit, or if maybe they're both the same, I don't know.
Okay. I feel like Jezebel definitely works with faction. But this brother had a lot of the same things that I mentioned. And I think that's why the Lord was correlating with a lot of the things that I kind of went through. But mainly an element of wanting to control, but underlying irritation with other people. And I'm sure there's probably other things I don't quite remember everything. It's been a while since he's been gone, but just very contentious, and sort of wanting to be above everyone else, and having maybe that self-will versus what the Holy Spirit wants. And I probably as much as I'm comfortable saying, but but yeah, just the Lord made the correlation with what I experienced, this underlying irritation and always wanting to correct when not being correct myself. And so but I really couldn't say too much more. Someone else might be able to say, but definitely we're not gonna say anyone's name or anything like that. But the Lord gave me that dream. But in the dream specifically was about being high-minded. Like the bed was way to the ceiling, like being above, and then he went into darkness, and he wanted me to follow with him, and so that's what I the correlation there. And in the second dream, the sister also had the spirit. It's just that I think it was this contention again, this kind of always kind of pushing to be right. Even like sometimes, the enemy would use my good motives. Like, okay, for example, we're not supposed to change the word of God. It's written, and I try to memorize it for what it says, and not like, paraphrase it not too much, But so it's like you can take something like that, and then someone might say something like in that dream, and I'm like, and repeat, maybe say something, but I'm like, no, that's not what it says. You know what I mean? Kind of, a little adamant that no, but it's like an underlying control there and irritation about in trying to correct this person, but it's like, it's out of order altogether because it's not your position, it's not your place, it's not the spirit. There's a lot of things going on there, but I didn't recognize that it was that. I was just thinking like, well, that's not what it says, and I'm right. And I was just trying to bring the point across because I want the person to be right too, But it's all about what spirit you're in, is what the Lord was showing me. And so, yeah, that's as much as I
Amen.
can recall about the brother.
Yeah, that reminds me of when you're saying that, it reminds me of a situation where the Lord brought something up, another individual raised something, but and it raised something in me, like a defensive mode or a fear, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but I realized that this person, even though they were not correct, the Lord was using him to bring that inner thing in me out so that I could see it. But another question I had, you mentioned, I don't know if it was in, it was after the dreams, you were mentioning something about, I wrote it down, that the man is to wash the woman, but not vice versa. Could you say that again, what you were talking about there exactly? I'm assuming it came from, well, I'll let you just talk about it for a minute if you could.
I'll just go back to what I have there. But essentially, it was the correction part of it again, because I think for me, having raised a man, a boy into a man, I can kind of stayed in this, in having been a single woman, because so there was not that counterpart to kind of have that correct balance and the correct authority, and having my background from coming from out of a Jezebel home, no love and that kind of stuff. Like, I was very heavy, ruling hard with, hard fist, and so all this kind of mixture there. But essentially, it's like I because I was always correcting my son, you know what I mean? Like, about, showing him right and wrong, and I just kind of stayed in that mode, thinking, just so like this motherly mindset, but kind of translating that to my other relations, like my other relationships, that and that's out of place, and so, even if a person's younger in the Lord or whatever, like, that's still out of place. But I would just find myself kind of reverting to that mindset. But the Lord told me specifically, let me see where I could find it here. Okay, let's see. Where is that? Hold on. Okay. I said, I felt the Lord say cleansing cannot be forced, because I for a lot of my error was putting my conscience on my son, sort of being hard-handed about, no, the Bible says this, and this is what we're going to do. And I felt it was my right to do that because he was my son and in my home. But at the same time, that spirit was there. And so, because there was not that balance, I think there was some confusion in my own mind about what's appropriate concerning that. You know what I mean? And so, but it says, it has to be the God's Holy Spirit. The man has to wash the woman. The woman cannot wash the man through teaching.
Using the word as a whip.
Yes, it's a lot to think about there. Okay, I mean, I have some more questions, but I want to let everybody else speak or ask their questions. So maybe I'll chime in a little bit later. Thank you, Angelica.
Okay, Chuck.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think Ben had something maybe to say. I call him raise his hand a couple of times. And then if he goes, I'll go after him.
It's all good, but thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a necessarily a question, but I had a couple of things. I took sort of some mental notes and jotted them down here in my computer, if that's okay. To just share.
Go
So
ahead.
I took some notes out of what you were saying, Angelica, because they brought up things in my mind that I know of very well concerning the Jezebel spirit, which, by the way, I hate with a burning passion. So what I wrote here, and I'll just kind of like write my little highlight here, because Jezebel tends to see things from a wrong perspective and can bring about a wrong mentality and a false sense of humility in the person who has it, basically, which says, I know I'm right, but I'm going to let it go or won't say anything, instead of accepting that it is possible that they're wrong, you know? And like a false sense of humility I've noticed in certain Jezebelian situations where somebody might, instead of saying, oh, I could be wrong, I say, okay, whatever, I'll just let it go, and it tends to, puff itself up as, still being supreme, but they're gonna drop it, and that can be very destructive to a person, because it's maintaining a sort of facade or an image, while still looking noble or, humble, etc. And that's just something I've seen. But anyway, I had something you said, Angelica, really reminded me of something that I even brought up yesterday. I was talking about the Jezebel spirit. It's like an opportunist spirit. It's not always 100% on with everybody. It's not always 100% on and operation all day, every day with everybody. It's like one of those moments where, I think you mentioned something like you feel like, oh, I need to say something, and then suddenly, oh, this is, you feel like, and this is the Lord, leading me to do this, or the Spirit of God, and it may not be, it's that opportunist spirit of Jezebel who want to kind of bring it, its own authority into the picture, basically, and of course, it is out of order, like you said, well. So, there's that. And obviously, that can be with men and women, I believe, just kind of throwing itself into the spotlight as, the wise one, etc. And I believe I know the brother that Angelica was mentioning in the dream. I think I know who that was. And it definitely had a very sense of controllingness, to where, it was based on their own preference. It was based on their own, idea of what is right and good, and anything, that they thought they were, I guess, wise in. And it became like, for me personally, my experience with that person I think they're talking about, it became almost oppressive. Because you didn't know what they were going to be like. They'd be hovering, or they'd have their opinion, which they could be a little belittling about, toward others, that is, belittling toward others. Kind of, yeah, I won't go much more into that, but
That critical spirit is very pervasive in the
yeah, absolutely.
Jezebel.
And then they're a an actual event or, a scenario that I've been in a long time ago now. Could be like, I don't know, 10 years ago now. But you mentioned something, Angelica, about like the men not being, that spirit, like, oh, the men aren't, back enough to the situation or whatever, and they're not whatever. And I remember the situation where I had a friend, and we had a little ministry group, and it was like a fellowship, but we shared the word, and we just, it was just for fellowship and discussing the word of God and things like that and whatever. And there was one woman in there. She was herself was definitely out of order, and she definitely needed a lot of deliverance. And she was very forward and headstrong and all that kind of stuff. And well, my friend had a real big problem with her. My friend had a really big problem with her, especially because her own husband was in that group, and she didn't want her husband to be affected by this woman who definitely herself also must have had a Jezebel spirit for sure. So it seems understandable, but my friend, whom I love dearly, I've known her for a long time. She was herself out of line, I believe, because she wanted to really dock this woman really fast. But I wanted to take a slower approach about it because I wanted to give that woman a chance. I wanted her to learn. I wanted her to grow. I wanted her to understand the truth. And, it really was upsetting my friend because I wasn't just dropping the chop, like dropping the guillotine, on her, and I don't believe in doing that right away. I do believe in patience and things like that with people. Sometimes people need to learn and get a chance to grasp what's really going on, because the Lord is very patient with us. We got to be patient with others, even if sometimes we're being very grieved. And so anyway, that just reminded me of that. Like, my friend believed I just wasn't acting fast enough, and I think believed that, I wasn't handling it right, and really, it was just what it was she was herself being immature about it. Even though she was correct in this case about that woman, she was definitely correct about her. But in her mind, she felt like, we need to take control over this. We need to get this woman out of here. And, that in itself is out of line. That in itself is trying to take an authority that's not hers. So anyway, there are just a few things there that I just wanted to share that came up in my mind as you were sharing, Angelica. And praise God that, he gives us this discernment. He's very patient with us and gives us, the ability, even sometimes slowly, to see things so that we are not destroyed, and we can come out of the darkness into the light and then be a testimony unto others of, true victory, and showing that it is very possible that we can be free because of the Lord's grace. So praise God. Amen.
Amen. All right, anyone else? I'm going to read again what that the characteristics that Angelica experienced that manifested as always wanting to be right, being critical, nitpicking, forceful, unyielding, annoyance at someone else who is not complying with my desires or with how I prefer things to be and personal preferences. Jezebel can come off as urgent and caring for someone else, but is forcing her will upon someone else. That leaves no room for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All those behaviors you were mentioning there, Michael, gives you a whole new meaning to that verse that is in the God breathed verse. All scripture
is God breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for discipline, which is in righteousness. So the mannerisms and or behaviors that you were mentioning there weren't this God breathed. The breath, you take this scripture and you put it in there with the one in Luke, where it says, "For no word of God shall be void of power," you see. So if it's a different power, it's a different spirit, it's the different breath, So I was reading actually that verse today, and I just wanted to make this as a comment there, that when you're going to give it a correction, a teaching, a discipline, so that you could be, what's the word it uses there? Complete, thoroughly furnished, completely unto every good work. Good work, goodness is a fruit of God's spirit, and there's only one that's good, and that's God. So that breath there, that's there. Some translations use another word there. I just wanted to clarify that, and to just, because you get really messed up with this kind of stuff sometimes when, and that's all I wanted to say. Glory to God.
All
If
right,
I could
thank you,
turn off
Andrew.
my
All right, Pat, go ahead.
Andrew, you sound different for some reason. But anyway, so Angelica, this is another question, and it has to do with the washing of water. I'm going to read that verse. I think that's where you got that line, or that the Lord gave you that verse, or whatever. But it's Ephesians 5:25, and speaking of the husband is comparative to the same role as Jesus is to the church. And in 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word." And and before those verses, it's basically, in 22 it says, "Wives, be in subjecting and subjection to your husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife," etc., just as Christ is the head of the church. And in that environment or relationship, it's a little easier to maybe to recognize, or to, I guess, have the influence to recognize certain things within yourself, and vice versa, the wife recognize certain things within her that come up, simply because of the closeness of that relationship, and the harmony versus friction, or whatever that can come up in that process. That being said, I mean, I don't know much about you, but evidently you didn't have a husband in this mix, and so you kind of had to deal or experience this without the, I guess, close context of this husband-wife relationship. So how did the Lord bring about within you the realization or the suspicion, the awareness that this was even happening within you? That would be my question.
Okay. Like I said, in some of what I read there, that when I got born again, I was very close to losing my mind. Got radically born again. I was, delivered of some. I was just chock full of demons. And when I got delivered, I literally didn't know who I was for like 3 days. I didn't have any thought firing through my head. And when I read the word of God, I read it day and night, and I had rivers of living water flowing through me. And I just, for 3.5 years, was just praising and worshiping and thanking God, and just nonstop. And so my experience with the Lord was a very quick, deep experience. And so I just shed it off a lot of the Jezebel that I had because of working as an independent woman, because I was never married, having, my son as a responsibility. And coming from a home with no love and a lot of rejection and lots of stuff. But fast forward to having moved here, I always, very self-aware, and maybe to, like someone has said, maybe to a fault, I've always known because of that deep working that the Lord did in my heart. Like, I always knew when the enemy was working in my life. And it kind of got a little into introspection, which is not good, because you could lead to condemnation. But I basically was always on tap. I always knew when a spirit was operating in my life. It was just that I didn't equate it to Jezebel, because it was like this symptom or that symptom of this irritation, that irritation, or whatever. But always this sense of like not being able to overcome it. But in the way, the Lord being my husband, and like, He just gave me so much mercy and grace, knowing what I come out of, knowing that my heart was never to be, dismissive of the brothers or dismissive of anyone really, or even out of order. It's just that I didn't understand, and not having someone there particularly correcting me. But I also knew that there was going to be a possibility that there were things that were out of order. It's just that no one's there physically telling me so. But kind of throughout the years, because it's not just a small little circum, it's been throughout the years where I have struggled with this and just always wondering, like, why can't I seem to overcome this? But still being here while as yet other people are not here anymore who have factioned out for, and that spirit was a part of it, I would say. Especially, rebellion and submitting to the authority, Brother David and Michael, when they lay down the word of God, and we don't come in agreement with that, well then, the Lord has the right to say whether you stay or whether you go, and so I'm still here, and I just, like, wow, like the Lord just gave me so much grace, because I didn't realize what was working, but I was never in agreement with it. I always knew something was happening, but was prayerful about it continually, and continually asking people to help me, to pray for me. And like I said, I know and believe that other brothers and sisters, I'm sure, discern the spirit on me. Just, we're quietly, praying for me in the background or whatever. And ultimately, the Lord brought it about where I was just so tired of it and sick of being constantly irritated and on all these things, all this internal struggle, that he realized it. And by that time, I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus. I want to be free. I don't want to keep it, because the temptation is to want your way all the time, and the temptation as a single woman is to say, well, God didn't tell me that. I mean, that's you. That's y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all are married, and that ain't me. You know what I'm and I think it's just, I believe that spirit is very, very subtle. It works differently, probably with different people and different, thought processes and experiences. But it's subtle. Its deception is very subtle. And but ultimately, what really, put fear in me when the Lord was just giving me this understanding was that its ultimate goal is to cut the headship off, not only of the men, but in the church, and to quench the Holy Spirit. And it's like, man, I do not want to be guilty of that. I don't care how much wisdom or knowledge I think I have. And I realize after all of this, like, I just really don't know anything. And I have such a realization of how much more needful it is for, as a woman, and for me particularly, to take God's hand. Like, I don't know what to do. I need you for every little thing. And that for me was where, like, the crucifixion is, because having had my background of not having a true, like, love in my house, and abuse, and different things, like, I was very dogmatic in my own mind that I didn't need anyone, and I was intellectual enough where I was never going to rely on anyone to make my decisions for me. Now, when coming to the Lord, yes, I submitted a lot to Him, but yet there was still very a lot more that I didn't think it was needful, in because of this independent mindset, and not realizing that there is so much more that the Lord, has need to work in me about these things. But so there's a lot of I guess facets up to it, and probably don't have time tonight, but but yeah.
Amen. Chuck, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this next paragraph that brings out some highlights of the Jezebel spirit. And Angelica says the Jezebel spirit is very dismissive of things being said or taught, especially if it didn't come from her. And we just got through, y'all just got through talking about some of that. She believes in submission by force, and will use emotions and accusations of people not loving or respecting her. A humble pride is what I call it. She might accuse others of being too harsh to deflect and protect herself. She wants to make the rules through witchcraft, manipulation, and control. That is Jezebel. She wants to control and manipulate it, and she'll manipulate it any way she can in order to get her way. Never thinks or considers that she is the problem. That's, man, that's spot on. Go ahead, Chuck. I hope I didn't steal any of your thunder.
No, but did you? Man, just thinking about
What?
Yahoo, you know.
What? Wait a minute! I'm fixing to feel Jezebel coming on here. What are you talking? What are you laughing about?
No, just
I'm just kidding you, brother.
no, just it just reminds me of that. What all you were saying was making me think of Yahoo. Just the zeal and fire he had. And I just sometimes I have felt that way against Jezebel. Like I just have hated that spirit so much, man. It's just such a grievous spirit. But I'm so glad we have power through Christ over that spirit, and He gives us such grace to recognize it. What you were saying there actually goes back to what I said earlier, actually, about that false humility, And it twists the perspective of the individual, which that guy, that brother that was mentioned, he very much had that kind of twisted perspective. He was thinking everybody was against him, et cetera. He was the victim and all these things, and it was pretty crazy. But I just wanted to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where talking about Adam and Eve, if that's okay. So, it says that in verse 13, for Adam was first formed and then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. And, thinking about how the Jezebel spirit isn't necessarily, special to just women, it can be in men also, but it primarily works in women, it seems like, from experience and testimony and all that kind of thing. But it's that false reasoning, that's what the devil did to Eve. He put a false sense of reasoning in her mind, which did not allow her to have the fear of the Lord of what God had already said. It took this reasoning, and I thought about how the devil tried to do the same exact thing to Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness. He said, "Hath not God said?" Like kind of that same mentality toward Jesus. And of course, Jesus is the word, so he says, "It is written." But, the enemy tries to do that same thing to even men, like, doesn't the word of God say this? And then we'll make you forego order altogether, because the Bible says this. But it's like, this is why we got to guard our heart, myself included, just thinking, is this thought that's coming to me really what the Lord wants me to do right now? The verse that comes to my mind or the passage or whatever might be right, but is the time right? Is the order right? Like, rebuke not an elder. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people like to go and rebuke the elders, yet they don't do it in order. They don't do these things in order, And so it is a very dismissive spirit, And I just, I'm just glad that we can have such a, an expose on this, that, we can be free and be humble about it. And allow the Lord to clean us up, our whole fellowship, the abroad, outreach and everything, man. So praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, I believe that, well, I know that Angelica, through her experiences, has brought out some things that people may not have been aware of that puts gas in the Jezebel spirit to make her keep going on. One of the things that she said that that I know is that well, God told me this, and then they'll say, "Well, he didn't tell me this." A lot of times, if you're talking to, it makes no difference whether it's a lady or a man. Well, have you asked him? Did you ever ask him about it? Well, no, I didn't. He just didn't tell me. I've had that experience in my relationships with people. That God told me to do this. Well, he didn't tell me to do that. Yeah, he did. I just told you. And that kind of stuff there is when you deny the word of God. I'm talking about a man and a woman relationship. So, go ahead, Pat. I hope I wasn't too vague there. I was trying to be.
So I thought it was interesting in where in Revelation 2:21 or 2:20 when the Lord is talking to the church about the prophetess, the called herself a prophetess. But the verse that caught my attention was in tw verse 21, 2:21, where the Lord says, "I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works." And it's as though the Lord was holding the responsibility to repent upon those that were committing adultery with her. It's like he said, or gave her time to repent, but she willeth not. So I'm going to throw you all into tribulation, except you repent of her works. And then down below, so it was in the church, there were evidently certain people that didn't, were not in this relationship. It says, but to you, verse 24, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast you on you none other burden. So in the midst of this church, there were people that were in the church and obviously listening and were aware of this process happening, but they were not participating in it. So I just, I don't know. It's hard to separate some of this stuff sometimes, but, but there is a definite responsibility for those who are accepting and receiving the teaching of the Spirit, to repent of that. So anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting, at least to me. Anyway, that's all.
Amen. All right, Andrew.
Yeah, Pat. You know, in Revelation, the second beast has that 13:11, two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. And of course, we want to have what it says in Ephesians 2:10, that we're God's workmanship, because you mentioned works there, every good work. And like I mentioned before, the breath of God there and the power of God. So we really want that 2:10 to happen through us, the Ephesians 2:10. So we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared. So he's preparing it that we should walk therein. So to walk in that truth was what the Apostle John mentioned. I think it's in 3 John. That it's the greatest grace he would ever get, because it's not really his, but it's what Jesus would want too. So that's just a comment I'm saying there, to get people thinking about some of the things you actually hear today that's going on. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right, Chuck.
This may be the last thing I say before I go. I have to go to Walmart before they close. But yeah, I was just, you know, thinking about not just the Jezebel spirit, but any spirit that tries to peddle its way to us, you know, speaking of being the workmanship of the Lord in Christ, you know, being the workmanship of God instead of being the workmanship of demonic spirit. You know, to be that work of the Lord is to basically have no identity of ourselves, you know, to be nothing basically, and accept the lowest place. He, that in the least shall be the greatest. And Jesus bowed down and washed the dirty feet of, common people, and then he went and was mocked, beaten, and suffered on a cross, like right after that, or soon after that. But just thinking of that, he must increase, but I must decrease. And sometimes I think of like, we have these working of positions, in ministries, and we know that, there's some detail about, those parts that are unseen and those parts, that we bestow more honor to, the weaker vessel, we honor them, highly and things like that. And just thinking, I like to put things in sometimes in like a parable, like thinking of like a band, a musician basically. And you have your front man, which is typically the singer, and then you have some, string players, and then in the back is the drummer. And a lot of the time, the drummer doesn't get hardly as much credit as anybody else. And sometimes the drummer really is the one who's making the people move, And so sometimes, man, it's the people in the background that are upholding the whole entire operation because they're so humble, they don't need to be seen, truly, Jesus has still even taken the background to become the foreground, because now what people see are the people of God, but Jesus is the one working in us. And so they see Jesus by us being moved by his spirit, And just that's the prayer that I've had since the beginning, just I am nothing, Lord, and you are everything. And I have to revisit that, and I'm sure that we all do have to revisit that constantly. I am nothing, Lord. It doesn't matter if I have the lowest place, as long as I'm doing your will, and I'm not submitting to these other voices, submitting to, the want of or the desire for, glamour, and as these other people, false apostles, they love the shining light, they love to be praised, they enlarge, they make other garments and things like that, they want to look like royalty. But Paul said that the apostles are like the offscouring, they are the scum of the earth. The apostles had the highest ministry, yet had to be the lowest of all, and of course Paul mentions all of that. And I guess in some way I would say that, hey, UVM, the ministry, and the fellowship as a whole, abroad and local, have an apostolic anointing because of David's work that the Lord has put upon him, right? But we have to take the lower place in our hearts and mind. We have to be lowly, because we are not better as human beings, and we have to take that as an honor to say, Lord, let us do the work that you have called us to do, and let us not exalt ourselves, especially individually, but rather let us provoke one another to these good works, so that it'll come to pass. And Jesus, at the end of the day, will be the one who is exalted above all things. So, anyway, I guess that's all I'll say for now.
Amen. I want to read something for you women. Okay, Pat. See you, brother. God bless you. You too, Chuck. The women ought to listen to this that are not married. Said, what was fitting and proper 2,000 years ago is still right. This is out of Word Women and Authority. Colossians 3 and verse 18. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What in the world was that? This is not a question of interpretation. This is in black and white and a question of your obedience and respect for God and His Word. Even as babes in the Lord, David says, my wife and I knew we must obey these verses. And God confirmed them with a special word to her. He said, you must decrease and he must increase. And I am sure, David says, that this is true in some of your lives also. Some sisters have told me that their husband just will not take the lead, so that they have to. And David said that two wrongs do not make a right. Back off, pray and believe, so that he has to make decisions, and soon enough, he'll learn to take the lead. So just bear that in mind. God is going to make it right if you go along with what the Word of God said. I thought, how many of you liked what was what Angelica gave out tonight? I thought it was awesome. Thought it was awesome, yes.
What the Lord gave out.
Yeah, well, glory be to God that he gave it to her. Glory be to God, yeah. Amen. Well, all right, it looks like we're... No, we got 5 minutes yet.
Michael?
Go ahead. Yes.
I'm sorry. Would you be willing to pray for myself and maybe anyone else who...
Sure.
Against the spirit?
Okay. Let's see what Missy has to offer here right quick. You got 30 seconds. No, go ahead, Missy. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Angelica, for sharing that. You know, there's a lot of things that you mentioned there that I know I have to cast down and catch myself on, like, being nitpicky and critical and stuff like that. You know, and I don't always take it as being me. You know, I just take it, you know, lots of times it's just the enemy. But, you know, just through you sharing, some things came to my mind. Well, for one, you know, like I'd say in the past 2 months, maybe three, I've had to apologize to my son and my dad and my husband for saying things or doing things that, you know, were not right, you know. But you know, and one thing that just, you know, I the Lord just really hit home to me. I know that when I'm around certain people, that don't understand these things, you know, the whole Jezebel thing and so on and so forth, that I need to be prayed up. And the Lord just, you know, just reminded me, you know, of that, you know, just brought that specific thing to my attention, emphasized it more through what Angelica shared, because somebody said something the other day, and I, without going into detail, I jumped in on the bandwagon, and I had to go back and apologize to somebody for having said what I said, you know, and ask them to forgive me. So I just want to encourage, you know, y'all, when you have to be around people that, you know, have an issue with this spirit, you know, just, you know, Lord, help me, remind me to cast this spirit down and forbid it to have any kind of an influence on me, you know, and cast down wrong thoughts and Jezebel tendencies, or just, you know, taking authority, or just, you know, lots of times what solves a lot is just keeping your mouth shut. Keeping my mouth shut, that keeps me out of a lot of trouble, is keeping my mouth shut, you know. And if I'm like, no, this thought might pop into my head, nope, I'm not saying that, you know, nope, I cast that down, you know. So thank you, Lord, for more than, you know, what keeps me out of trouble a lot is just keeping my mouth shut. So many times the Lord will tell me to just be quiet, you know. No, you shouldn't say that. That's not your place to say that. No, you don't need to correct that. You don't need to do that, you know. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Angelica. Thank you for sharing.
Amen. Well, right now, let's just pray. Father, I thank you right now for the authority that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that when we pray, devil takes notice and he has to do what we pray, everybody here. And I praise you and I thank you right now that you have placed in us a diligence to pursue after you and the kingdom and its ways, Lord, with all of our heart. And I praise you and thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that Jezebel spirit to leave out of this fellowship. And to anybody listening, I command this spirit to loose yourself from them right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind you from coming back ever again in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in our hearts to be diligent to listen to you, to your leading, and not our own self as a leading. And I pray, and this goes for men and women, and I praise you for doing that for all of us, Lord, that we would be led by your spirit and not by the flesh of the world. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it is done this day. I thank you for that anointing that you gave everybody last night and that you're going to give this outreach tonight too. In Jesus' name, and I praise you, Father, for the anointing to overcome these tormenting spirits that hinder our walk in you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you. It is done. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God forevermore. And I thank you for the freedom, the deliverance, and that everybody here listening has been made whole away from this evil spirit called Jezebel. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And I thank you, Father, for giving Angelica the words to say and the wisdom to put this in a testimony type format that everybody, that's one thing I prayed about this, that it would be simple and that people would remember it. And I thank you, Father, that's the case it's going to be right now, that it's going to go out and people's lives will be changed because of it. In the name that's above every name, that's the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, y'all. Just to kind of change the subject a little. Sorry, I didn't want to change the subject because it was good. And I'm sure y'all noticed that me and my dad are in the same room right now. I don't know if he mentioned anything before the Zoom meeting started. My brother-in-law, Zach, he had another, episode with, marijuana, and he just kind of left the scene. My sister's been having to work a job online overnight to take care of the family because he's not working right now because he's laid off, and that's not good for him. He needs a routine. And I'll be as polite as I can say this: our doctors have prescribed him medicinal marijuana. So yeah, and so I just pray that he, I'm just going to pray for this. Oh, Lord, Father God, I lift my family up to you again. We thank you, Father, for being a good father. We thank you for being an awesome God that can do all these things, that can overcome all these obstacles. Lord, Father God, I just pray Zach just wakes up. Just let him realize that this is a good opportunity to spend with his kid and not focus on his own faults, to focus on marijuana, to focus on what he needs to do for himself, but that he can provide for his son, that he can be the father that he needs to be. Lord Father God, he claims Christianity, but he is not biblical. I just pray that you awaken that for him, Father, because it's so powerful to be in your word. And to receive the Spirit in the word, Father, is just something so
amazing to receive. And we thank you so much for it, Father. And I just hope that you make Zach realize this and that what he's doing is absolutely ridiculous. And just open his eyes, Father. Let this be a good testimony to the whole family, for everybody, for your glory, Father, for your ways and for your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So yeah, my dad is with Megan right now, helping her with Finn and all that. So that's probably why you see him with a different screen and everything right now. I don't know if he has his screen off. Yeah, he does. Yeah. So that's that. Just keep him in your prayers. I am struggling to keep this in faith. I'm gonna confess that, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the faith. Yeah. Praise God.
I mean, go ahead, Julie.
Hey Ben, didn't you say recently that Zach was dabbling in New Age philosophy stuff too?
Yeah, I don't think he's claiming New Age, but it sounds extremely New Age. And, he doesn't read the Book of Revelation. He's all about, like, he says stuff like energy, the universe, stuff like that. I'm like, that's very new agey. He talks about energy and chakras and all that. And well, that sounds very new age to me. So
Does he claim to understand that the Bible is the Word of God?
no, he doesn't think it's the word of God.
Have you ever showed him the Numerics Bible?
I haven't shown it to him, but I've told him about the numerical pattern that's in the Greek and the Hebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No other book on earth like it.
Yeah. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll remind him if I see, well, when I see him again.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just break the power of this weed off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you send someone. We ask the Lord of Harvest to send someone that he would listen to, that would explain the gospel to him in a way that he could understand it, and he would come into the kingdom in a mighty way and be the father of his kids and the husband of his wife. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We break the power of self off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for bringing him into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Julie.
I would just like to pray too for Megan. Heavenly Father, I lift her up to the throne of grace. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her peace, calming anything that's going on in her mind of anxiety, stress, worry, fears, and all the things that she's been dealing with. And we know this is a kind of a repeat occurrence here. So, Lord, I just pray that you draw her close to you. I pray also, Lord, that you would give Andrew and Ben words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Show them how to pray for her specifically. Show them how to and what to do specific warfare against by the things they see and hear. And I just lift her up, Lord, that you would encourage her and work that she's doing right now. Lord, I pray that she would have great favor with her employer, that you would provide financially everything that she needs, Lord, even that she wouldn't have to work so much, that she can be the mom that she needs to be to her son right now. And I bless Andrew and Ben both for taking up the role of helping and just being there. I'm sure it means a great deal to her. And that she be encouraged in that too, Father, and draw Megan into your word, and that she would seek you for faith, and she would seek you for direction and comfort in the scriptures, and to trust you, to give all this to you, to trust you, to show her how to pray for her husband during this time, and just to believe you, and to keep loving you, and that you're working in her heart too, Lord, and answering the prayers of her dad and her brother. We thank you and bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to see a turnaround here in this man. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that?
Praise God.
I look to it. Look, Benita, you've changed. You look more like Nick. Hey, Nick, how's it going, buddy?
Good.
All right.
Had a good day at work. Right.
Do what?
I'm just going home to get some dinner now.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, we're way over time here. I better shut her down. Thank you, Angelica. Thank you, everybody, for the questions and listening. And it was awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Missy, we'll see you maybe Thursday. Okay. All right. Bless y'all. Bless Missy as she comes here, too. Bye, y'all.